The Apostle Paul said he took pleasure in weakness. Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth says we can't understand that from a human perspective.
He sounds nuts. Taking pleasure in trials and pressures and problems. Why? Because he knows that in the midst of that, there's going to be a glory of El Shaddai reflected that might not be seen any other way. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth, author of Incomparable. For May 21st, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. If plants could talk, they'd probably tell you to go heavy on the water and the sunshine, but go easy on the pruning. But if you care for the plant, you cut back the dead branches and allow new growth to occur. We're about to hear how God does the same thing in our lives. Nancy's wrapping up the series, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. Let's listen.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Those who know your name, O Lord, will put their trust in you, for you have not forsaken those who seek you. To know God's name is to know God, and to know God is to be able to trust him. We've seen that the name of the Lord is a place where we can run and we can be safe. And over these last several sessions, we've been looking at a particular name of God that has become a very strong tower for my own life. It's the name El Shaddai. El, the almighty, strong, powerful, omnipotent God who can do anything and everything. There's nothing too difficult for him. We've seen that El Shaddai, that strong, mighty God, was able to give to Abraham and Sarah a child when it was absolutely, humanly, physically impossible for them to have a child. And we've seen that God waited, or made them wait, 25 years from the time he first gave his promise of a child until that promise was fulfilled. Waiting on the Lord is so hard to do, isn't it? Many times. And to us, 25 years seems like eternity. But it really isn't. In the light of eternity, it's just a moment. So we need to get God's perspective and learn to wait on the Lord, even when it seems that he's not going to fulfill his promises. Now, there are so many practical implications of this name for our lives. We've seen that El Shaddai, Shaddai, God who is like a nursing mother, the breasted one, that word comes from the Hebrew word for breast. He's like a nursing mother who pours himself into our lives. So not only is he mighty and capable, but he's tender and caring. He's all sufficient. And we've seen that the name El Shaddai, Almighty God, All Sufficient One, is often in the scripture tied into the God who blesses us. He pours blessing into our lives. But I want us in this session to see another implication of the name El Shaddai, and that is that he is the giver of fruitfulness. He is the giver of fruitfulness. From the very first pages of the scripture all the way through the book of Revelation, you'll see a theme, and that is that God wants his people to be fruitful. God said to Adam and Eve, early on in the first pages of Genesis, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Now, he was obviously speaking of their union bringing forth physical children, and that is how the world is populated. But there are many ways that God wants us to be fruitful as we live in union and communion with him. And the one who enables us to be fruitful is El Shaddai. Let me point you to a few verses in the Old Testament that make this connection. We've read the verse over these last few days from Genesis chapter 17. Verse 1, where God says to Abraham, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One. He goes on in verse 2 to say, I will multiply you exceedingly. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. It's El Shaddai who makes us fruitful and who multiplies our lives. Abram went from being Abram, the exalted father, to being Abraham, the father of a multitude. God is pleased when we are exceedingly fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. In Genesis chapter 28, Abraham's son Isaac says to his son, "May God Almighty bless you. May El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful." El Shaddai is the one who makes us fruitful. In Genesis chapter 35, God says to Jacob, "I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply." El Shaddai is the one who is the giver of fruitfulness. Now we learn in John chapter 15, Jesus told his disciples that our Father in heaven is glorified when we, as his disciples, bear much fruit. He wants us to be exceedingly fruitful. Our purpose in lives is to bring glory to God. And how do we bring glory to God? By being fruitful, by bearing much fruit. What kind of fruit does he want our lives to produce? We need to know what the fruit is so that we can look to El Shaddai, our all-sufficient one, to produce that fruit in and through us. Well, God wants to produce in us the fruit of righteousness, of holy living. God wants to produce in us the fruit of his Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. I don't have that in me. Left to myself, I will never have the fruit of gentleness. That's why I need to draw upon his sufficiency. He is the giver of fruitfulness. He is the one who produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The fruit he wants to produce in us, the fruit of Christ living in us and being expressed through us. The fruit of the character of Christ being formed in us. The fruit of our being a blessing to others because of the life of Christ within us. The fruit of children, natural children. God is pleased, mothers, when you have children. But you not only want to have physical children born to you, you want those children to have a heart for God. You want them to be spiritually fruitful. Who is the giver of fruitfulness? It's God, El Shaddai. Who will enable you to lead your children and train them in a way that will lead them in paths of righteousness? It's El Shaddai in you who will be your sufficiency as you disciple those little children. Now, some of you may be single and you don't have physical children. But I'll tell you what, I have spiritual children in different places all around this country. A couple of them are sitting in this room today, women who have not only influenced my life, but God has allowed me to be fruitful in their lives, to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. What enables us to produce fruit in the lives of others? It's El Shaddai. He is my sufficiency. He is the one who produces that fruit in us. You see, God did not intend that you and I, as his children, as his daughters, should just exist on this planet, or that we should just survive, that we should just cope with everyday life. God wants to make us exceedingly fruitful. And I just want to believe God for that in my own life. I want to have the kind of faith that Abraham had at age 99 when there was no sign of God's promise being fulfilled that he would be the father of a multitude. Yet the scripture says he believed God. He believed El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. I love God. I want to glorify him with my life. I want to bear much fruit for his glory. But I don't have the capacity to bear fruit on my own. You don't either. We just have these natural, barren selves apart from God. That's why Jesus said, it's crucial that you abide in me and that I abide in you, that you stay connected to that vine. That nursing infant is never going to get milk from that mother unless the infant draws close and is connected to the mother. There's a union, there's a oneness that enables that mother to pour herself out into that infant. And as we abide in Christ, and his word abides in us, God pours his sufficiency into us. So we can not just exist here, but actually be fruitful. For you see, it is El Shaddai who chastens or disciplines his people so that we might become more fruitful. And it's interesting how throughout the scripture, El Shaddai, God Almighty, is connected not only to blessing his people and making them fruitful, but it's a name that's also connected to the God who chastens his people so that they can become more fruitful. Because you see, to experience God's sufficiency, the all-sufficient El Shaddai, we first have to experience our own insufficiency. To experience his fullness, we first have to be emptied out. God can't come and fill us if we're filled up with self, with our own resources, our own pride. And sometimes to get that pride and that selfishness emptied out, God, out of his love, will chasten us to empty us so that we can get filled up with himself. The more of pride and self-sufficiency there is in our lives, the less fruit we can bear for God's glory. He wants us to be more fruitful, to bear much fruit, so he brings chastening into our lives so that we might become more fruitful. So how should we respond to El Shaddai? We've seen the implications his name has for our lives, and I just want to wrap up these sessions by reflecting briefly on how we should respond to this all-sufficient God. I think the first and obviously most appropriate response is to worship. As God reveals himself with all of his different names and his character, the first response is to worship God. I love that passage in Genesis chapter 17 where God appears to Abraham at the age of 99 and says, "I am El Shaddai," the first time that name was ever used. "Walk before me and be blameless." The next verse tells us Abraham fell on his face. He recognized he was in the presence of greatness. Sufficiency, all sufficiency. Abraham had already seen his own insufficiency and the insufficiency of anyone or anything else to provide a child of the covenant, a child of promise for him. And so in the face of this all-sufficient, omnipotent God, before he sees the answer to God's promise, he worships. Now, some of us think, once I see the answer, once God gets me out of this mess, once God takes me out of this affliction time, then I'll worship God. Well, of course you will. The challenge is, and the evidence of faith is, will you worship him now when you can't see the outcome of his provision? When all you have is faith to tell you that God is all sufficient, will you worship him? Will you fall on your face before him and worship? As we worship El Shaddai, we need to recognize our own insufficiency, that we are unable to fulfill what God wants to do in and through us. You can't raise those children on your own. You can't love that husband on your own. You can't be the witness God wants you to be in that workplace on your own. You can't produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life on your own. Recognize your own insufficiency. But don't stay there. Don't keep your eyes on yourself. Now, some of us just substitute others. We realize we're not sufficient, so we start looking to others, even as Abraham looked to his servant and to his handmaid Hagar to provide a way out of this predicament of childlessness. And God says, "Have it your way, but I want to do it my way." Don't settle for less than God's best in your life. Don't settle for sufficiency that others can provide for you when God wants to give you all sufficiency. So we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and our own insufficiency, get our eyes off of others and their partial sufficiency, stop looking inward, stop looking outward, and begin to look upward. And to keep our gaze always fixed on God, El Shaddai, who is our all-sufficiency. He alone is our sufficiency. We sing so easily that little chorus, "Christ is all I need." Do we really believe that? Someone has said that you'll never know that Christ is all you need until he's all that you have. And when he's all that you have, then you will come to see that he really is all that you need. So rather than looking inward or outward, look upward and trust in His all sufficiency. And that means, as we've seen out of the life of Abraham, being willing to wait for God. Now, I'm willing to wait as long as He hurries. I can wait for 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 months if I have to, maybe. But it's in the waiting past all hope that we find God to be at His best, to be at His greatest expression of His sufficiency. Don't take matters into your own hands. It took 25 years from the time God first promised a child to Abraham until Abraham held his son Isaac in his hands. 25 years. But God wasn't in a hurry, and He certainly wasn't late. God waits many times until it's clear that there is no way for this situation to be fixed unless He intervenes. Trust His sufficiency. And as you're waiting, draw near to Him. As that infant is brought near to the mother's breast to feed upon the mother, draw near to God and allow Him to pour Himself into your life to meet every one of your needs. This is the experience Apostle Paul had, and he talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You remember how he was given this thorn in the flesh? We don't know what it was, but we know it was some sort of affliction. And he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Nothing wrong with asking God to remove the situation. But when God doesn't remove it, what do? You listen to God's word to Paul. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so what did Paul say? Okay, El Shaddai, your strength is sufficient. So what will I do? Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. That's what I'll make a big deal about. Instead of just trying to be strong by myself, I'll boast in my weaknesses, because that's when God's grace is seen at its best. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. He sounds nuts. Taking pleasure in trials and pressures and problems. Why? Because he knows that in the midst of that, there's going to be a glory of El Shaddai reflected that might not be seen any other way. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So in the midst of those infirmities, those stresses, those distresses, we've got to submit. To say, Lord, if it pleases you, it pleases me. Remembering that the goal is greater fruitfulness. Nathan Stone, many years ago, wrote a classic book on the names of God. And he summarized this name, El Shaddai, Almighty God, as it's translated in our English Bibles, in this way. He said, the name Almighty God, El Shaddai, speaks to us of the inexhaustible stores of His bounty. I love that word. It's inexhaustible. What He has to supply for us as our all-sufficient one never runs out. He says it speaks to us of the riches and the fullness of His grace in self-sacrificing love, pouring itself out for others. It tells us that from God comes every good and perfect gift, that He never wearies of pouring His mercies and blessings upon His people. But we must not forget, he goes on to say, that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. His sufficiency is most manifest in our insufficiency, His fullness in our emptiness, that being filled from us may flow rivers of living water to a thirsty and needy humanity. I like that. I need resources, and you do as well, in my everyday world. You do in your home, in your role as a wife or as a mother, in the role to which God's called me, ministering the Word of God, the truth of God. You need those daily fresh reserves, those resources to give out to others. When we run out of our own resources, as the old song says, our Father's full giving has only begun. There's no limit to his supply. It's an inexhaustible sufficiency that he offers to us. And so as God made himself known to Abraham as El Shaddai, and then God said, because I am your all-sufficient one, walk before me and be blameless. If God had not given himself to us as El Shaddai, we would have no hope of walking before him and being blameless. And we've seen how El Shaddai is the one who blesses us. He's the one who makes us fruitful. He wants us to be exceedingly fruitful. And in order to help us bring forth much fruit for God's glory, he chastens us. El Shaddai in the book of Job is the name used 31 times. As God's servant suffered, he recognized that the chastening ultimately was coming from the hand of El Shaddai. Not as punishment, not as judgment, but as a purifying, pruning, purging work of God so that Job's life could bring forth much fruit, all for the glory of God. Lord, for the one in this place today who is experiencing your chastening hand, and for all of us who have or will at some point, we thank you that you are our El Shaddai, that you can be trusted, that you are using the chastening and the pruning to prune away self and pride, to empty us of ourselves, so that we might be filled with you, that our lives might be exceedingly fruitful. Help us to embrace you and your chastening hand and produce in our lives, I pray, afterward, the peaceable fruit of righteousness, that you may be glorified. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Is there some hard thing that's making you worried or nervous? Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been helping you remember you can handle it in God's strength. Speaking of God's strength, at Revive Our Hearts, we've been asking the Lord to meet our regular needs, and we've been telling you about the extra needs we have around the Wonder of the Word initiative. It's been so neat to watch God's people give and pray to help provide. We are so grateful.
That's right, Dana. I want to say a huge word of thanks to everyone who has prayed for Revive Our Hearts this month as we've been coming to the end of our fiscal year. And also a great big thank you to everyone who has contributed to the goal this month. What a blessing it's been to see the Lord providing over these last weeks. And these gifts will help Revive Our Hearts continue our current ministry outreaches in the months ahead, and will also help us to launch into some new ministries that God has been leading us toward. It's not too late to contribute to these important goals for our ministry support this month.
To get all the details on our ongoing needs, the Wonder of the Word initiative, or to see where we're at in meeting our goals, head to reviveourhearts.com. That's also where you can make a gift. You can also do that by calling 1-800-569-5959. Now, when you give, be sure to ask for the 50 Promises to Live By card set. It's our small way of thanking you for your support. They're beautiful cards with scripture and promises of God on them. You can use them for memorization or just little reminders that God is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Again, the website is reviveourhearts.com and the phone number is 1-800-569-5959. Tomorrow, John Piper will be here to talk about what true womanhood really means. You don't want to miss it. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.